This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour is brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Best, by the way, in the business. Great buying experience for me. And that service department, by the way, whether it's quick lane, inspections, routine, difficult, they handle it all. That's Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right, we will get to several items with Adam Rittenberg in just a few moments and talk to him about what he saw on Saturday night, what he thought about the college football playoff, what he thinks about the Heisman. Now, you know, look, Heisman voters do not give out their ballots. As you know, I don't give out my ballot beforehand. But just general thoughts on that area. Because that's this week. That is this week. And that'll be, what, Saturday night, I believe. Something I stopped watching a long time ago. I mean, it's a one-hour show. Like, what are we doing? Just announce the winner. But maybe that's just me being impatient. All right, so let's bring in the outstanding Adam Rittenberg. Great to see you on Saturday night. Thank you also for the kind words. Greatly appreciated.
Absolutely, my friend. Yeah, it was an interesting game, and two teams that certainly belong in the college football playoff, and they are. So that's an exciting thing.
Yeah, what did you think of that game, the way it played? I know you and I were joking at halftime that the SEC game looked like the Big Ten, and the Big Ten looked like the SEC.
Yeah, and it, I mean, again, the league, it's hard to completely generalize.
Right.
And the SEC hasn't always been, like, super wide open in playmaking.
Right.
But the Big Ten certainly has had that reputation of being a more of a low-scoring, methodical-type game. And, you know, both those teams had playmaking ability on offense. And, you know, I think for Penn State, even though you want to win the game, you come away encouraged by the fact that you were able to trade blows, especially after that first quarter, with a team that's used to kind of delivering them on a regular basis. And that's what I was worried about for Penn State going in was, you know, can they outscore Oregon? Can they trade those blows with them?
Right.
And they were able to. They just weren't able to kind of get one more to really make it interesting. So, that game, I think in the future – will be a lot more like the game we saw on Saturday because you're going to have always two really good teams with a lot of high-level athletes playing inside as opposed to in weather. So mm-hmm. I think we're typically going to see that Big Ten championship game be a higher-scoring game.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. You're going to have one versus two. It's going to be indoors. It makes a big difference. There's obviously been the debate about Alabama-SMU. It doesn't matter now. SMU is in. They're going to play here at Penn State. But what was your thought just on the general debate and SMU being included in the playoff, especially after what they did in the second half with Clemson?
Yeah, I think they showed in that second half what type of team that they've been most of the season. Very resilient team, an experienced team, a team that's used to winning a lot of games. That was mm-hmm. something that I talked about with Rhett Lashley during the year is that his team isn't intimidated because it's a lot of older players. So moving into a new conference and being down in games or having to win a game like the Duke game where they had a ton of turnovers and still found a way, I think just speaks to kind of what type of locker room he has. So I was glad that they got in. I just don't see the point in expanding a playoff if you're going to keep a team that went undefeated out in its league. I know they lost the game to BYU, but that was with a different quarterback, and they really had earned their way in based on an 11-1 regular season. I mean, there could have been a some weird tiebreaker that kept them out of the championship game. I don't know what it would be, but in theory, you have Indiana sitting there at 11-1, and you're putting them in. Why wouldn't you put SMU in? Why would you penalize them for making their conference championship game? So I think that was the right call. And while certainly Alabama and Ole Miss and South Carolina are capable teams in the college football playoff, ultimately you got to get it done during the regular season, and three losses is three losses. So I just don't think there's a whole lot of tears to be shed for a 9-3 team, regardless of what league it is, to be left out of the playoffs.
No, I completely agree with that. And again, I thought they did a good job with the conference championship games, the committee, because look, you're the one out there risking another loss. You're the one out there risking an injury. Look at Carson Beck of Georgia, for example. And they didn't penalize you for playing in those games. I mean, I thought for them that showed everybody, at least it showed me something about what their thought process was.
Sorry, Steve, you just cut out for a second. What was the question?
I said that they did not penalize teams for playing in the conference championship games because, yeah, you're the one out there risking a loss. You're out there also risking injury. For example, Carson Beck of Georgia, right? They end up losing him in that game. And I thought the committee did a great job of taking all those factors into account.
Yeah, definitely. I think for the most part, you're not going to see teams that are in that game penalized if they've essentially earned their way in. I mean, that was the whole debate with Georgia into the SEC championship, was if they'd lost to Georgia Tech, then they would need to win it to play their way in. But once they beat Georgia Tech, I think there was an understanding that, even if they lost the SEC title game, they would have made it in. That would have been interesting to see what they would have done if they had lost the game and lost their quarterback, the committee, that is, with Georgia, because we saw what happened, obviously, with Florida State last year when Jordan Travis went out with the injury. It essentially cost Florida State a playoff spot. So, but Georgia won the game. They found a way, and they're obviously the number two seed in this thing.
Do you know what game you've been assigned to yet?
I will be at Notre Dame, for the very first on-campus game of the playoff. Indiana, going up to South Bend and all Indiana affair. So excited for that one, and then certainly excited to see what goes on there in State College the following day. I mean, State College is always one of those places that when they announced this format, we all thought, "Wow, what a scene that could be!" For a playoff game. We just haven't had this before, so I'm really, really excited. I've seen a lot of games at Notre Dame Stadium in my job over the years, from the Bush Push game to games against Ohio State, Michigan, and other USC games, the Clemson games. But I don't know if there's ever been a bigger game, at least in my career, that Notre Dame will host than the one next Friday.
I've always told people that college football kicks and screams its way into finally making progress. Man, I wish they had this years ago because, they haven't played a game yet, and I'm excited to see the games, especially with campus games. What about you?
Yeah, I really am. I think that this round, even though I'm excited for all of it, this particular round, is one of the reasons that you do this. No one falls in love with college football based on like a neutral site game. Maybe even a bowl game. Maybe the Rose Bowl, some people do. But I think most of us are attracted to the sport because of it's being played on campus and the pageantry that's around those games and the students and the fans and the bands and everything. So, these are the settings in which the most important game should be played, in my opinion. And now we're finally able to get that. It's, you know, football is not a tournament sport like basketball is, and yeah. You know, I think that the settings of college football are as ingrained with the sport as really any sport, maybe more so than any sport. So I'm really, really looking forward to this round.
So you can't reveal your Heisman ballot because that's wrong. But what are some of the factors that you looked at when you were putting together your Heisman ballot?
Well, I think you always look at you know, the candidate and that candidate's body of work, and you know, who, you know, where they play, who they've played against, the consistency. You know, I try not to overweight one performance. So, you know, if so and so has a career performance or two, that's great. But then if they didn't show up in some of the bigger games of the season, I'd be less inclined to vote for them. And so I think what's exciting about, you know, this group is that they've all been, you know, really consistent. I mean, if you look at, you know, Travis Hunter and you know, how often he's made a play, whether it's on the defensive side, but especially as a receiver, you know, his numbers have really spiked as a receiver. You know, Ashton Gentry, you can't find a bad performance he's had this year. Even in their loss to Oregon, you know, no one's run the ball on Oregon like he was able to in that early game. You know, if it wasn't for Cam Ward, Miami would probably be close to 500. You know, that's how good he was, you know, pretty much week to week for them. And then, you know, Dylan Gabriel has just been just almost on autopilot. Really, really consistent player. And you saw how good he was in the Big Ten Championship. Just plays like an adult. I mean, he is not, sometimes we refer to these guys as kids. He is not a kid out there. He is a full-grown man who's seen a lot of college football and makes decisions and performs like he's been doing it for a really long time. And so I think it's a really nice pool of Heisman contenders. Don't have an SEC player in there, which is a little unusual. Do have a couple of quarterbacks, but, you know, I think the uniqueness of Hunter and in some ways Gentry too. I mean, how often does a non-quarterback from a non-Power 4 program even get considered for this award? It's a really neat field.
Against Oregon, Gentry ran for 192. With Henderson and Judkins, Ohio State as a team ran for 140. I mean, that's just giving you just one example, like that one guy. He scored 29 touchdowns this year rushing, for goodness sake, 2,400 and what, 97 yards or some number like that. And people didn't really get a chance to see him that often. But, boy, when I watched him, man, you thought he was going to break it on every single play. I don't know what you thought when you watched him.
Yeah, for sure. He is, and again, I actually wrote about him last year. I did a couple of pieces on, you know, kind of the best players you don't know about, and, you know, he was sort of thrust into a do-it-all role for Boise State and caught a lot of passes out of the backfield. So I knew the name, I knew the performance, but he just took it to another level this year. And, you know, even his style of not getting into a stance before he gets the ball, you know, kind of adds to the mystique around him. But, you know, he I was out there in Las Vegas for Big 12 Mountain West Media Day, and Ashton had to do his own media day at a different hotel because he's not 21. He couldn't do it at the Circa, so he had his own media day, and man, he backed up the hype. They did a nice job promoting him, and look at where he is now.
Let me ask you something. You were talking about, like, you know, this guy's a full-grown man and so forth. Some guys are staying longer in college. Now, some, you know, do the three and out. I've got that. But some guys are staying longer in college, taking extra years and so forth. What do you think that's done for the quality of the sport?
You know, I think it's improved it. I think the longer that you have, you know, in college, especially when you're developing, even if it's at multiple programs, I think it just enhances the quality of the sport to have guys like Dylan Gabriel or his predecessor Bo Nix. I mean, shoot, Steve, I was at Bo Nix's first game back in 2019, and he and Auburn rather outplayed Oregon, yeah. and led by Justin Herbert, by the way, who was the quarterback. So yeah. That's how long Bo Nix's career was, going from Justin Herbert's time to the current or last year rather. And so, you know, I think that position especially, it's something that can really help the sport when guys are around a little bit longer. But then there's other players who are obviously ready to make a jump and can go three and out. And, you know, Ohio State's had a number of them over the years. You know, and Michigan's obviously had a number of players. Will Johnson going to the NFL today. No big surprise there. So, but I think in general, it's better for a sport when good players hang around a little bit longer.
Is it my imagination that does each one of these four opening matchups feel like it's got like a lot of juice to it? I mean, that's what I see. I see four matchups like, well, I can't wait to watch that game. I can't wait to watch that game all the way through. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I mean, I think again, if you're a diehard SEC fan and you're disappointed that the SEC only has a couple of teams in, you know, that then maybe you're not. But I mean, shoot, I followed SMU all year. I know how good they are. You know, Indiana's been one of the best stories that I can remember in the last, you know, 20, 25 years. I mean, just to think of them being part of the college football playoff under this brash first-year coach and Kirk Cignetti and getting to know Kurt and his family. You know, so really all the games are you know, even Clemson, you know, a team that I'm not super high on Clemson or, you know, but the bottom line is they made it, they won their conference, and and now they take on a Texas team that, you know, is in the SEC and trying to show that it's capable of winning a national championship. So there really aren't any bad matchups, you're right.
You know, Lashley is a guy that's done a great job at SMU, no question about that. They, you know, they got a mixture of transfers and so forth. What do you like about him, and what makes SMU, in your opinion, very good?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think that what makes them good is that they're a very balanced team. Like, I do these future power rankings write-ups where we look at 3 years out for, you know, offense, defense, quarterback, team, and SMU was in it for everything. I mean, they're not just an offensive team, even though Rhett's background is on offense. And I think he's a guy that's, you know, that's been around, and you know, he was obviously with Gus Malzahn at Auburn, and then he was with Sonny Dykes at SMU, and then he was with Manny Diaz at Miami, and he even went up to UConn for a year and was the offensive coordinator there. So, you know, he's a guy that has some varied experience, and he knows how to be a head coach, and I think his personality translates nicely to really to the team as a whole. So, really solid team, and one that I know everyone's saying, okay, they're gonna struggle in the cold and 107,000. I'd be really surprised if this SMU team is intimidated by that setting. I think Penn State's better than them. I think Penn State will beat them, but I don't think it's because that you know they're going to be really scared of the environment.
Oh my goodness, they've won 11 games. They're used to winning. What kind of difference has Jennings made to them in your opinion? This would be the last question. I'll let you go.
Yeah, you know, even before the year, Steve, I was talking to some coaches in the ACC, and I know the ACC wanted the coaches to bring their quarterbacks to media days, but there were a couple guys that took notice of the fact that SMU didn't just bring Preston Stone but brought Kevin Jennings and told me, hey, I think they're, you know, kind of setting that up for maybe a change. And, you know, obviously after the BYU game, they made that change, and, you know, Kevin's had a really good season, dual threat, you know, very, very dangerous on the move. So Penn State's got to contain him as much in the pocket and try to make him win the game with his arm, because he is he's a really dynamic playmaker.
Adam, always a pleasure. I can't tell you how much I appreciate your valuable time today, and the audience appreciates it too. Thank you so much.
Yep, thanks, Steve. Great seeing you.
Adam Rittenberg from ESPN. By the way, the 2025 schedule is out for Penn State football. They will open with Nevada at home on August 30th, Florida International September 6th, Villanova September 13th. Then they get a bye. They're going to get two byes next year. They get a bye in the 20th. Then, and this is the one everybody already knew, they knew Oregon was going to be the opening conference game on the 27th. Then on the 4th, they go to the Rose Bowl to play UCLA. Then it's Northwestern at Penn State on the 11th. Okay? Then they have to go to Iowa on the 18th. Then they get a bye and they play at Ohio State. Then on the 8th, they get Indiana here. Then Penn State plays at Michigan State in week 15. Then Nebraska is here on November 22nd. That's senior day. And then Penn State's final regular season game in 2025 will be at Rutgers. So that's the order with which they'll play. Florida International, Nevada, Florida International, Villanova, bye. Oregon at home, at the Rose Bowl against UCLA, Northwestern at home, at Kinnick against Iowa, okay, in Columbus against Ohio State, at home with Indiana, East Lansing to take on Michigan State, home with Nebraska, and then at Rutgers. So that's how it's going to stack up for the 2025 season.
All right. No road games in the second week of October, is that right?
This half hour has been brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com as we continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ho, ho, ho. Sunbury Motors Ford will help you get through the snow.
SMC has the area's largest selection of 4x4s with over 310 new and pre-owned trucks and SUVs priced as low as $13,968 with payments from just $259 a month with no money down. Sunbury Motors has over 40 new 2024 Escapes slashed $5,000. Plus, get 1.9% financing for 60 months starting at just $27,650. SMC has 31 of the top-selling 2024 Ford Bronco Sports, discounted $47.50 and priced from only $28,315. Choose from over 45 new Ford F-150s with savings up to an amazing $12,616. And they start at just $46,549 with available 1.9% for 60 months. The Mertz family and all of Sunbury Motors would like to wish everyone a safe and joyous holiday season.
Who knows Santa? Sunbury Motors knows Santa.